Father, we just come before you, Lord God. Enlighten our hearts. Give us understanding that we, Father, may stand for you, God. Stand in your way. Stand on your truth. Not waver to the left or to the right, God, but stand. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have the handout. If no one has received the handout, the armor of God, I've given it out in several forms and stuff. If we need more, I'm not giving my copy up, but I do have one free one. Come on, Car. I know you're upstairs with the kids. Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18. Are we there? Look, we got the tech geeks over there. Oh, I got the Bible app. Pastor, you're old fashioned. You got an old Bible book. I can write in mine, yes. That's it, man. I'll tell you what, your kids will not be fighting over your Bible. They have to figure out how to get into it. My kids are fighting over my Bible right now. And I'm not even dead yet. I hate to see what my spiritual sons and daughters would fight with them about with the stuff that I have. But anyway, let's continue. Starting in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, and with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the righteous readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We have covered the belt of truth. And truth does what for us? What does truth do for us? What does it create in us? Creates courage. Gives us a strong backbone to withstand against the lies and schemes of this world and of the enemy. And the breastplate of righteousness, what does that do? Protects our heart. Its design was on a Roman soldier to protect the front and back. It was tied to the sides of there, very closely tied together. You needed another soldier to tie this together, kind of like in the old days when the women wore corsets. They needed that other woman to just stick that knee in her back to pull everything together. That's how it was in wearing this armor. And this armor protects the heart. And we talked about the responsibility of the believer to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issue of life. And we talked about the importance of filling our heart with good things so that the issues of life, what will flow out of it once we're attacked, is good things, not bad things, not evil things, not anything that is impure or unwholesome. We should come away with the understanding just how important it is for us to protect ourselves, our heart, and to put on this armor every day. Too many Christians today believe that that being a Christian is a playground, that it's all fun and games, and the truth of it is a battleground. Every day we get out of bed, we enter into the battle. Some days are good, some days are bad. But the battle rages. nevertheless. Today we're going to cover about our shoes. And hopefully, if I have time, the shield of faith. If I have time. Last week I didn't have time. Are you aware that every army, part of the basic equipment of that is given to a soldier has shoes? That's true. Every army. But not in the days of the Romans. There was barbarians, and barbarians did not fight with shoes on their feet. The Romans wore a sandal that was made of soft leather and had a sole that had spikes, small spikes, in order to give them good, sure footing no matter what the terrain that they were marching upon, no matter what the battlefield was. It gave them sure footing. When we have the peace of Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts, we have good footing. Okay? A lot of the barbarians, pagans, do things in which to impede the progress of the church. In warfare during those days, the enemy would set these traps in order to trip up the Roman soldier. If they didn't fall into these traps, what they would do is build these lines with little spikes in the ground. And they would use these spikes and usually fill them with some sort of manure or some sort of poison in order to cause infection or death that would come through the feet of those who were barefooted. Because when you're marching or you're running through a battlefield, you're not looking at the ground. You're looking at the enemy that is coming at you. And as Christians, we have to survey everything. We have to survey not only the battleground, but what's in the air, what's along the sides, what's coming at us, what's behind us. And we have to begin to really pay attention to what's going on. And I used the illustration last week that early on in this ministry, people would see me, I would constantly be like this all the time. And they're saying, "What's going on, Pastor?" And I would just simply tell them, my head's on a swivel. Because I'm looking to see what the enemy's doing. And when we went into the Republican Club, there was a lot of demonic activity that was there. And our Many Hands ministry that was in there would go and pray through the facility as they were cleaning it, preparing it for Sunday worship. And I would sense that as I walked into the building, how disrupted these spirits were. And I'm constantly looking to see what's going on. And I would pray in the spirit, along with everyone that was there and setting up this for service, because I didn't want anything that would combat the Spirit of God. I wanted God to be there, and I wanted God's people to be touched by His Spirit. We have to understand that our enemy lays these spiritual booby traps upon us. His job, as I will continue to say, is to get us out of position. If we do not have peace, we have run into a minefield and we have punctured our feet in such a way that it's same as a warrior in Roman days would puncture their feet. The idea here was not to kill them immediately, but to incapacitate them. To get them out of the battle. They can be killed later. Because, as you well know, those who have foot problems today in their lives understand that they can't do certain things that would be normal for the rest of us. They have to be mindful of their feet. And everything we do in life has to do with our feet. And if we don't have the peace of God in our lives, if we don't have those things, we can't stand in our positions. And the enemy is not worried about where you are, because what you have done is lost your peace. And the next thing he does is he shoots these arrows at us so that he can cause our hearts to become afraid. And if we become afraid, we're not concentrating on God. We're not concentrating on what God wants for us and what to do through us. We're concentrating on me, myself, and I. Because at that moment, that's all that matters to us. I don't care how spiritual you are, that when you hurt, you hurt. That's all there is to it. I'm not that spiritual. When I don't feel well, I don't feel well. When I hurt, I hurt. And it's just part of the deal. How we respond to it is the outcome of the spiritual reality of this battle. So the tactics of the enemy is to, if he can't get you to move out of your position as you're marching through in there, he will try to incapacitate you. He will try to do things to take that peace from you. And Christ said to us, he said, I don't leave you with the peace of the world. The peace I give you is my peace. Ed is at a place where one of the tactics of the enemy that I've said is he'll either attack us personally, through our environment, or our work, or through our families. That's his three tactics that he uses against us. And in Ed's case, he's being attacked through his place of employment. But he is not, and I'm really proud of him. He is not dissuaded by what the enemy has thrown at him. He just says to me, he just says, Pastor, I understand this is a battle. I understand what's going on. But I also understand who's greater. God's greater. It's God's responsibility to provide for me and my family. I know my responsibility as a soldier is to continue this warfare. And that's the mindset that each and every one of us have. Jen shared, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, how a woman came in to her place of employment and literally went up one side of her and down the other. And she could have lost her cool, but she responded Christ-like, which eventually had her come to apologize, which I would have used as an opportunity to witness Christ to her. But I'll take what God's given to you so far, which is cool. It is cool. Shoes are important for us. We have to understand that when the pressures of life come against us, this is a reality of our warfare. How we respond has everything to do with how much at peace we are with ourselves and with God. Everything. How did you respond the last time it seemed like the world was crashing in on you? Did you retreat? Did you backslide? Did you go back to that sin that so easily besets you? Or did you stand in spite of all the face of what the enemy was throwing at you, in spite of the severity of the attack, in spite of our circumstances, were you able to remain peaceful? Were you able to say, but God is in control? Because he is. He will turn our deficits into a positive, and then he blesses on top of it. That's the whole story of Job. Not Job's self-righteousness, but God. God is for us. He's not against us. He is not the one who allows us to go into battle and has not prepared us and given us the equipment we need to successfully defeat the enemy every time he assails us. And there's times and seasons, and in the future we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, and we're going to talk about your part to play as a spiritual warrior for Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven in this world. You are not only a spiritual giant, you are a spirit full of light. Your armor is light. Light as far as carrying it, and it's illumination. That is the truth. That's what the Word of God says, and you have to believe that. There are conditions, though. And one of those conditions is out of James 4:7. It says, so therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. If you are not on sure footing, and you're sliding back, you're not submitted to God. Because you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your circumstances. You're thinking about the outcome before it happens. But God. But Jesus. Jesus did the same thing. He was in the garden. And he said, God, if there's any other way you could take this cup from me, do it. But not my will. Your will be done. If there's any other way I can escape the pressures of my stupidity and all this is railing against me, like a flood against me, God, take it. And we stop it right there. We stop our prayer. God, take it from me. When we should be saying, not my will, your will be done. Because you see, in that testing, he's purging us. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for our good. And when the pressures of life come in and we focus on what we do have in him and who he is to us, not what we don't have, not what we should have, but what we do have in him, we're able to stand. We're no longer sitting at Father's table learning about him. We're no longer walking this thing out in practice. When the pressures of life, when the reality of a soldier, when the enemy starts shooting back at him is real, you have to make a decision. When your commanding officer says, I need you to go forward, are you going to go forward or are you going to retreat? Are you going to be able to overcome that fear that has gripped your heart and not look at self-preservation and look at, if I live or die, it's for God. He's in control. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. That's the peace we should have. It doesn't matter if I live or die. It doesn't really matter. What matters is how I respond to the pressures of life and the light that's exuded from me. Am I submitted to God? Am I submitted to what he wants done? Am I resisting the enemy? The word resisting gives an idea of two wrestlers just wrestling in hand-to-hand combat, closely together, struggling to overcome each other. Do you struggle or do you give up immediately when the pressure comes in and are full blown in retreat? I'm trying to help you to understand that the defensive position that we take is also simultaneously an offensive position. These are defensive pieces of equipment that we have, but they can be used as offensive. You see, the Romans, when they had this, and they had this full-blown charge coming from their enemies, were able to stand there. They were able to dig in, and when that enemy hit them, they bounced off. They were locked arm in arm with other soldiers, and the weakest point was the sides. Because there was nobody for that exterior line of soldiers to hold on to. He was dependent on that person next to him. Do we really have our feet shod with the gospel of peace? Are we at peace? Only you can determine that. Only you or the person in there. And when you lose that peace, when you lose it and exhibit your carnality, your profanity, your vileness, your anger, your lust, you don't represent Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. Yeah, but the other day you lost your cool and you cussed up a storm. You yelled and screamed at the kids. You did this, you did that. All because of yourself. See, that's what's got to die is self. And that's the beauty of the cross. Is we get to kill ourselves each and every day. Take up our cross and follow Him. Once you understand the depth of what the cross is, and that old man is up there, yeah, he's going to show up from time to time, but that should not be the mainstay of a person's makeup 10 years in with Christ, 20 years into Christ. It should become less and less of the normalcy. Because as we're dying on the cross, as Christ died on the cross, it was a slow death. It was not immediate. Our flesh will not die willingly. It will take time. But we are responsible for God to nail it up there and allow this life that I now live become Christ. That we become Christ-like. Ephesians 6:16 says, "And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Some translations say, the darts, flaming darts. And I want to touch on both of these things. An arrow in Roman days, the archers were meant to be long distance weapons. They would shoot out 200-400 yards out. And the design of it was to kill the enemy before he got too close to you. If not kill the enemy, to wound him, to get him disqualified on the battlefield. That was the design. Those of us that have seen the 300, there was a neat place where Xerxes, the representative, came over to him and says, "Look, you know, there's only 300 of you guys. We've got 10,000 archers. And we're going to shoot these arrows. It's going to be so dark, it's going to block out the sunlight." And the Spartan said, "We will fight in the dark then. We'll fight in the shade." It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws. What matters is having your confidence in your King. Knowing that He has done everything. So when they shoot, when the enemy shoots the arrow, we don't even pay attention to it. But we recognize what it is. When they shoot the arrows, it is of fear, of doubt, of despair and anger, vengeance, rage, pride, and lust. And it's all designed to take a faith out of our hearts, believing that God has our best interests. I've had to break things down to a point where people who are excuse-ridden, I say to them, "Okay, that's great. You got all these excuses. Tell me what you can do. Let's go from there. What is it you can do for Jesus Christ?" "Well, I never thought about that. I thought my excuses were going to work." No. I'm not the pastor of excuses. I'm going to keep swatting them away like flies until I can find something that I can start building faith in your life. What is it you can do? And these are long distance things. It happens way before we actually get into battle. We actually have hand-to-hand combat. A dart is a little bit different. A dart is a small missile that is meant to be used at closer distances, and its whole purpose is to disqualify and eliminate a person. A dart may come to you as a lie. Out lie about you, about your family, about things that you have done, things that you didn't intend but were misrepresented, misquoted. And it hurts. It hurts our heart that someone that we know who's close to us would lie about. It could be sarcasm. You know, your sarcasm can hurt you, can hurt others, of which should not be spoken amongst the body of believers in Jesus Christ. I could do what I want. You could try. I know it's a sarcastic response, but the truth of it is you will do what God says to do one way or another. I don't care. You do what you want. I love you. That just came to me. It could be any hurtful word that a person says to put someone down. Have we ever had words like, you're ugly. You're not. You're pretty. You'll never amount to anything. Every time you put your hands to do something, you mess it up. You're unfit. You don't love me. Whatever. Hurtful words. That's meant to put you down, to depress you, to keep you under someone else's control, so they can elevate themselves at your expense. That's what the enemy does to us. And we're too stupid. I can't do that. I'm here to tell you, you and Jesus can do anything that you want to do. There's nothing stopping you but you. Jesus is out here saying, come on, let's go knock out old Slewfoot's teeth, and by that, tell a couple people who I am and what I'm all about. That's the best way I know about stopping the enemy. Go win some people to Christ. Go witness to somebody. Go serve someone. Go to a land with milk and honey. No air conditioning. Bugs as big as trees. And oh, Pastor, you're just kidding. No, I've been there. I've seen them bugs. And there's no air conditioning. I didn't like it. I was glad to come home. And you will be too. The shield of faith helps us that when we dig in against this assault, we can raise up and believe God above anything else. When the enemy comes in, he's going to hit that because we know with all certainty that God has won the victory for us already. That this is a mop-up session. We stand there, we let them take the hit, but we know we got brothers on the backside, we got brothers on either side, and when he's done hitting us, guess what? We get to hit him back. I won't tell you how we do that, but that'll be next week. You have to show up next week. There are three things about this shield of faith that you must understand. First, it is impossible for God to lie, according to Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. Well, why is that important? Well, it's important because, you know what? It's true. And if you're girded with truth, you have courage, you have a backbone, you're able to withstand the assaults of the enemy because now you're putting it up. You're putting up resistance. Resist the devil. Resistance to what he's trying to get you to become afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Two, that we live by the word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus was just quoting the Old Testament. Do you live your life by the word of God? Well, sometimes I do. And sometimes I don't. That's why you struggle. Your faith is weak. The enemy comes in like a flood. We're to stand and raise up a standard. What is that standard? It is a standard of Jesus Christ. The fight against evil. A fight against all kind of sin. We're to expose it for what it is. It is not godly. When people behave ungodly around us, We need to open up our mouths and tell them, you know what? That ain't right. How you're behaving is not the way that God wants us to behave. I'm not saying do this with the heathen. I'm talking about our own people. They don't know any better. Third, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. If you build your shield with those three basic principles, you can raise it up with all certainty, maintaining your peace. You will not. You'll meet resistance, but you will not be moved. When you have done all that you know to do, when you have exasperated your carnal strength, take up your shield of faith. I tell you, throw away that all that you know to do. First thing you do is pull up the shield of faith. What does God say about this? If you know it's impossible for God to lie and that we live by the Word of God, we now put our lives around the Word of God, that it's contained, everything we do is based on the Word of God. And we start speaking the Word of God, because I read the Word aloud. I read the Word aloud because I literally take Romans 10:17 to heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I read silently. How's your faith? Well, you know, what's God saying to you? Well, you know, alright. I didn't get this way because I thought it was a great idea. I did it because I believe that God's Word is true. But that's for you, Pastor. That's your calling. You're called. Do you love God? Yeah. And I believe you do. Why don't you try practicing that? It may sound retarded to your unsaved family members. Ah, that's just religious. Hey, I'll tell you what. I used to sit in the tub. Shadow would come in, cry at the door. Irene would let him in. He says, your buddy wants you. I said, I'm talking to God. I'm reading scripture. He wants to be in there. He'd jump up on the tub. He'd sit on my chest as I got the Bible. If he wasn't satisfied with that, I'd go in my office. And before I didn't have a door then. He'd come into the office and he'd sit at the chair. He'd meow like crazy because he wanted to be up with me, but he'd lay across the Bible. I have since realized that that's the enemy using that cat to impede my time with God. You see, God understands all those things. How we respond to that is measurable. God uses people. So does Satan. Satan hates you. God loves you. God uses relationships to build one another up. Satan destroys relationships to destroy you and everyone that you're in contact with. And he uses the unsuspecting, ignorant believer first. Are you knowledgeable of the schemes and plans against you that the enemy uses? The devil doesn't use me. Think about it. Think about when you lost your cool. Think about it when you had a harsh word to say to somebody. Oh, I can afford that. I can give them my 2 cents. I got plenty of brains for that. Mm-hmm. And how's it working for you? When someone comes in and stabs you from behind, do you have a quib about that person trying to tear them down? Or is your response is, man, I wonder why they did that. I think I need to pray for them. I really need to go talk to that person about this. We have a thing going on indirectly in the church that has happened to a person who is in need of Jesus Christ. And their information is public knowledge, and people have Facebooked that information in a most unbecoming way. And I have to say that my daughter took it upon herself to confront that individual who put this stuff in there about why they did this after they themselves had suffered similar situation and oppression because lies were spread about them. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. We're to cover in love. We're to pray for those because they don't understand. They don't have the understanding. And that's why I pray for those outcasts. That's why I pray for those that nobody else wants. That's why I pray. Because I believe that they're the ones that will set the world on fire for Jesus Christ. Because when they come to a place that they're loved and accepted for who they are, not what they can bring to the table, not what they have to offer, but who they are, guess what? The Holy Spirit does tremendous, tremendous transformation in their lives. Does it happen overnight? No. But it, as much as it, that a person has been walking in the ways of the world, it may take that long for that person to get the world out of them. C.S. Lewis stated, "Enemy-occupied territory is what the world is. Christianity is the story of how a rightful king landed in disguise and is calling all of us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage." My question is, who are we sabotaging? What are we sabotaging? Are we sabotaging our Father's will, or are we sabotaging the kingdom of darkness? It is imperative that we understand the reality of this warfare. It is important that we understand that we have our feet shod with peace, that we remain peaceful, that we take the shield of faith, that we do what God has instructed us to do, and we maintain our position. If we die, we die. We know the next one that comes up will come in and take that position. If people have seen the movie At the Enemy's Gates, it talked about how Russia was fighting the Nazis, and there was these two snipers. And part of the action in this movie was the Russians didn't have enough armaments. They'd give one guy a rifle and a bullet, and the guy behind him, he'd give him two bullets. Why? Because the guy who died in front of him, he would take his weapon and use it if he survived. What we have to understand is, if we try to save our lives, for what reason? We're going to lose it in the end. But if we already count it as loss, we're already dead. And then if we do die physically, there's someone that's coming up behind me. And hopefully, those who are coming up behind me, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Hopefully, I've been a good example, or given you good examples to follow. Because I know what's in store for me. I just want you guys not to give up. Not to go to battle and not have your equipment. Now's the time to practice with it. Now's the time to get familiar with it, so that when these storms do come, these battles do come, and they will come. That's what the scripture says. And the day of evil comes, you will stand against whatever the enemy throws against you. And when it passes, you hear our Father's voice say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Keep moving." Because it doesn't matter. Because as we stand, we take the blunt of what the enemy throws against us. We're protecting those behind us, and we're shouldering the burden with those around us. And this ministry is now starting to expand, where others are coming alongside of me, taking what I've been standing in a gap for so many years. And I just get humbled by how good God is. How He has taken care of us. And now He wants to bless us so richly to go and win those people that haven't heard or don't know Jesus the way we should know Jesus. The way we should be telling people about Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, when our lives are over, we can't take any of this with us. But we can take the memories. We can take the love. And know that we're loved in God. And He'll use whatever we give to Him to continue to expand His glory. Amen? Father, we just thank You for this time. Lord, You are so awesome, God, that You have thought of everything for us. And Holy Spirit, You have quickened us. You have taught us. And hopefully today, we can take the elements of teachings before and really begin to see the nuts and bolts of what You're sharing, and us take really to heart what it means to live for You. It's not easy, but it's worth it, God. I pray for the blessings of Your people, God, that You would overtake them, God. That they would not hold on to that which they've already received, but they would give that away to receive more. Father, bless their homes. Bless them with the peace that passes all understanding, God. That no matter where they walk, they know who they are as kings and priests to our God, and conduct themselves as victors in Jesus Christ. God, I thank You for them. I thank You for this day. I ask You bless them this coming week. As You prepare for our ladies to go, Father, I pray for them especially that You would continue to knit their hearts together and knit their hearts with other sisters in our network, Father. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.